Welcome to the Financially Intentional Podcast, the podcast all things personal finance, and hopefully some things you didn't even know you needed to know. I'm your host, Nasima McElroy, and my goal is to bring you topics and experts that will encourage you to take at least one actionable step that will aid you on your path to financial freedom.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Financially Intentional Podcast.
What's up, you guys? You are going to love this episode because today I am joining my friend Chris Carithian, and he is going to drop some gems about education and paying for education, which as a parent has been one of those things I have regret. Like, I have a lot of anxiety thinking about, but fortunately was in a position to, you know, fund my daughter's education so that they have 529s where they'll both have $100,000 when they go to college. And, you know, that's not probably going to be enough, but I'll be able.
It's something, right?
It's a lot more than what I had. I didn't have a dollar. Okay.
Exactly.
But anyway, I want people to learn more about you, Chris, and learn your background. I want to know, like, how you started on this journey, where you're coming from, and how you have the gems that you have right now.
Great. Well, first of all, Seema, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to speak on your platform and to your people, because it's an honor and privilege for me to even be here speaking to you at this time. So thank you. Okay. We're going to talk about all of that. And the reason I'm able to talk about this is because I did everything wrong, right? I thought I knew the plan. I thought I knew the path, but a little backstory about me, you know, I'll go back to when I was about to go to college, right? And so, you know, I had a few scholarships. I graduated from a school in Georgia, you know, so I had the Hope Scholarship, which is a state funded scholarship if you have a certain GPA, which most states have some type of state funded scholarship, right?
Just not California.
Just not California, right? So they have other scholarship programs that you could be eligible for. But so I was eligible for the state funded Georgia Hope Scholarship because I had over a 3.0 or a B average, for those that don't know what the grading system is like. And so I had that, and then I was involved with Boys and Girls Club. So there's this teen leadership organization within the Boys and Girls Club called Keystone, and I was a part of that. And each Boys and Girls Club around whatever city you're in, they always have what they call a Youth of the Year program for each city. And so back in the day, they used to have a Youth of the Year for each state, had their own Youth of the Year. And then that Youth of the Year would go on Oprah. Like when Oprah had a show, they would go on Oprah, and then each of the 50 states would be showcased. Yeah. So when I was the first runner up for Metro Atlanta. So somebody else got it right before me. And I think that was the last year that they went to Oprah. So I never got to go on Oprah. But shout out to Oprah. If you're listening to this, guess what? I don't care which show on the OWN network I can go on, but I will gladly be a guest on your show, you know? Okay? I mean, it's not going to be as good as Seema's show, but listen, it's like levels, right? Like,
here. Right.
So, yeah, exactly. It's levels. And so I graduated high school, went to Savannah State University as my alma mater. So I went to Savannah State on scholarship, right? No loans, went to school. But the thing is, I always tell students, work hard, then play hard, right? Even if you have habits in high school that still resulted in an A. For example, I was a master procrastinator, but I could cram for an exam the night before, or I can write or type a paper. I don't even think it was type because we didn't have. I would write a paper the night before, right? And then I would get an A on it. And I thought I could sustain those habits when I got into college, right? But fast forward, I ended up with a 1.65 GPA.
Wait a minute. Can I tell you that was like my first semester GPA as well?
See?
Like, and I was a 4 point something student.
Right.
You know, exactly. I just never learned how to study. So this is so interesting to me. And I don't think I've ever shared that publicly.
Exactly.
I get you 100.
Like, I get what you're saying.
Yes.
I had the same experience,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so I had that GPA. And it was like, even though I was on campus away from the house, like my parents were just like, you know, this is not acceptable. Right. Like, so I'm first generation American. All my family, my parents, my mother, my father, all my grandparents, everybody's from Jamaica. right? And so I'm first generation American. So, you know, it, when you come up in a house, in the West Indy house, it's just like, no, you unless you're getting all A's, you know, this is not acceptable. So when I had a failing GPA, oh, my mom about lost it. She said, you know, you can't come back here if they kick you out, right? And so I didn't know if she was playing or not, but I just took it as, okay, she's probably not playing. And so every semester after that, I got nothing but A's and B's. And I ended up graduating with honors. But after that first checkpoint, after the spring semester, so in college, you go fall and then spring, just like most schools, right? And then you're off for the summer or you could take classes. But at spring, they checked it again. And what happened was my GPA wasn't high enough and I lost all my scholarships. So yeah. So then I had to take out student loans, right? And I had to take out student loans for those next 2 years. And I ended up getting scholarships my junior year and my senior year, but I still had some loans, you know, in that junior year. But I had to do nothing but get A's and B's every semester after that in order for me to graduate with honors, right?
Right, because once you have that low GPA, it's easy to drop your GPA. It's easy. Hella hard to bring it up. So I know, because I was like all A's like the rest of the time, but still my GPA was like 3. It was like the struggling 3.5. Like,
yeah, it was like, oh, you got a 3.5? Yeah. You don't know what I had to do.
Exactly.
3.5, right? Yes. I had to work some miracles. I had to put some magic dust on that thing. Yes. Like, it was a lot, right? I mean, study right. groups and just structure. And, like, you had to really change up what you were doing. So it wasn't that I didn't have fun in college, but I had to really get to the work hard part, then play hard, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want everybody to understand, like, college is more than just going to school, going to your room and eating. Like, you want to experience the whole college experience, right? But you got to put your priorities in order. Once you put your priorities in your order, if you're a student listening to this or if you're a parent, just kind of keep ingraining that in your child. And hopefully it sinks into where they'll be like, you know what? Let me do what I need to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about like all the scholarships and ways that you can pay for college. But so fast forward, let's go into the real world. So I graduated, you know, got had a couple jobs or whatever. I ended up fast forward a few jobs. I ended up working for this $1 billion company as a project analyst. And the day after my son was born, they said, congratulations, Chris, on your new baby boy. But we got to let you go.
Ooh.
Right. Nice. Right. My wife wasn't working. They were like, we got to let you go. It's just, we got to lay off 1,200 people. It's a recession. We're sorry. We got to let you go. And so
similar to what's going on right now.
Right. And then the thing is, I thought I followed a plan because I was taught, go to school, get good grades, get a high paying job, and you're good.
Like, and that's what our parents set us up for, right? So that's all we know. Like,
that's all we know, because a lot of times that's all they knew. So they were like, do that. Put some away for a rainy day. And then some parents might say, and invest. But they don't really know what that means. They just like, put some away for a rainy day and invest. Invest right. in the future. You know, and you're like, and that's your whole financial literacy education. Like, that's it.
That's it. I didn't get that invest part.
Right. Neither
did
I. It was
just like, go to the best paying school and get that job, and then everything else will be okay.
They said, get that paper, right? Yes, get that paper.
That's okay? it.
And then, you know, and then some parents say, get your pension. I'm like, there's no such thing as a pension these days. That's
my,
right?
my grandfather said that.
Right.
You like, better get your pension.
Get your pension. No. Yes. So I thought I followed the rules, right? But I was getting, you know, educated on my academics, right? My academic literacy, you know, but my financial literacy was through, you know, in shambles, because had I set myself up, you know, with things we'll talk about, like having your emergency fund and all these other things, I wouldn't have been hit. And so here's another thing, because we're talking about, like, you know, security and protection and things like that. So 2 months, 2.5 months after I got laid off, you know, we're at the house, you know, the baby's there. It was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to spend that intimate time with the baby instead of going to work every day and coming back. So I was like, my wife and I were here with our son, Chris Jr., CJ. And it's just like, one day he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's like, he wants to get fed. So I'll go to the bottle warmer. No, before that, he wakes up and then I hear people outside. I'm like, why is it so loud outside? Like, it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. So I look outside the window, and we stayed in an apartment complex at the time. I looked out the window, and everybody's looking at the building, right? And so I said, babe, let me go see what's going on. So I go outside and I look up, and the apartment's on fire. the apartment building is on fire, like literally on fire. So I was like, babe, the apartment's on fire. Let me go warm up a bottle. And I'm like, I'm tired. I'm not even thinking. I'm like, no, we need to get out of this house, right?
Right.
And so anyway, we get the baby, we get CJ, and we just grab what we can grab. I think I grabbed my keys and that was it. And then we go outside and then it started off because one of the girls across the hall upstairs, she must have gone to the club, left the stove on, and then 25 families are displaced. The whole building went down. Like, oh, I was shit. Thinking the fire department was going to come. They couldn't get the water pressure up. It was like a big mess. Yeah. And we look and then we're like, this thing is spreading. Like, it just started on one porch. And then little by little, like, it consumed the whole building, right?
Oh, my God.
And then, and guess who didn't pay the $12 a month for renter's insurance? Because it wasn't required. So, literally lost everything.
Everything.
All the money that I had, because the company I was getting paid, I mean, that I was working for, I was getting paid every week. We were going on vacations and everything. And so, all the money we had, we were putting toward baby stuff. And so, I was depleting my savings because it's just like, after we get all the stuff for the baby, I'll just stack it back up, right? Like, no problem. But I didn't account for losing a job. And then I didn't account for an apartment fire. Because it's like, you're responsible. But then because of somebody else being irresponsible, it can still affect you.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so I, you know, we didn't have rent insurance. We lost everything. We didn't have any money. So Red Cross had to give us a $250 gift card so we can get clothes from Walmart. So here we are, I'm working for this billion-dollar company. And then moments later, you know, we need a gift card from Red Cross so we can get clothes from Walmart. And we didn't have anywhere to stay. So luckily, my wife's parents had a spare bedroom that they just cleared out so that we can live out of for the next 6 to 8 months until we're able to get back on our feet. So it's like one moment you're high, everything's rocking, and then literally can lose everything, you know, minus our lives. And so we count our blessings because it was like our lives. The thing that I hate the most that I lost is like in high school, I had pictures and videos and everything, those memories, right?
Yay.
And this is like, those are the things that money can't replace, right? And so that was the only thing I regret. Like stuff comes and goes. TV,
right.
Sofas,
exactly.
Like all that stuff, clothes, like you can replace that stuff. But those other things that money can't buy, those are the things you want to cherish.
Right.
So that I just said all that just to say how it's important to have your finances in order and to understand, you know, how financial literacy works and why it's important outside of you just your academics and your grades or even getting a job, right? Or even owning a job, because there's some business owners that still don't have it figured out because they're living, you know, month to month because of the expenses and paychecks, for examples, you know, they don't understand. Just because you're making more doesn't mean you know how to manage more, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the principles you have behind financial success. And so I ended up getting a job after that, working in financial aid back at my alma mater at Savannah State, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mission, it wasn't my mission initially, but what I saw when I would see grandmothers and aunts and uncles and parents come in and be terrified at the financial aid experience and the process. They didn't know. It was their first time sending their child off to college and they didn't know what to do. Right.
Yeah.
And so I always thought if somebody was talking to my grandmother, how would I want them to talk to her? How would I want them to walk her through the process of getting everything squared away? And so once I thought about that, I just treated everybody the same as if it was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on a mission now because another thing I saw was that students would max out on these student loans, meaning they would take out the most they can get in student loans. And then a little like a guilty face right there.
Listen, so I was about to say, ask me how I know about that.
Yeah.
Ask me how I know about
yeah.
that. Okay. I was
exactly.
balling. You know?
Ain't the only one, okay?
You couldn't tell me nothing when them FAFSA checks came in.
Listen, when them checks came in, everybody was like, all right, where are we going?
Right.
What we doing?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you see classmates going to Cancun, going straight to the mall,
yeah.
you know, getting used cars. Like, they're
yeah.
just like, wait a minute. Oh, so we just out here living good, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I would see that. But the students still now do this to this day. And they'll max out and then they'll max out and they'll graduate with all this student loan debt when, you know, it only costs a fraction of the amount that they took out. And so, you know, the U.S. is over $1.7 trillion in student loan debt. You know, that's our deficit right now. And, you know, it keeps growing and growing. So, like, my personal mission, even outside of, you know, what I did for Savannah State, even still to this day, because, like, I'm over mentoring right now. And so I infuse financial literacy with the mentoring that I do. And then I'm on a mission to eliminate the need for student debt. And so that's what we're going to talk. That's the good stuff.
Yes.
That's what we're going to talk about
yes.
today to show you how to never have to take out a student loan. Like never. Okay. I'm going to show you how easy
it is.
I'm
excited.
Yes.
Because we need to know this. And you know what? I just want to say, like, I do some content for other fintech companies, and I have this post on TikTok talking about, you know, how I had $180,000 in student loan debt, paid back over $150,000 of it, but still owe $100,000.
Yes.
Like, and that's how the student loan system works. And then people are on there like, well, you shouldn't have took out debt if you don't know how debt works and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I was 17 years old.
Right.
Do you think I'm really supposed to understand this? Like, my dad never, that wasn't my experience for my dad. My dad went to school on his GI Bill. He didn't understand student loan debt. And school was affordable when our parents went to school. So it's just like, we got to look at like some things and like really understand that we're blaming the wrong people. Like, how are we looking at like all these people now that are begging for this forgiveness, not because they don't want to pay back loans, but probably because they've been paying on these loans for hella long and not seeing their balances go down and not in a financial position to continue to do so. But you know what? We're going to send people to school debt-free from now on, because good people need to know how not to take out loans for college, how to not be like me and graduate with $200,000 in student loans. So how can we send our kids to school debt-free?
Absolutely. So let's start with the foundation, which you're doing an amazing job, because you're just like, it's probably not going to be enough. But listen, $100,000 per child for 529 plan is a huge, like, let's give it up for those that are listening. If you're in your car, wherever, well, if you're not in your car, just kind of clap your mind. But wherever you are, you've got to put some hands on that wheel. Okay. You're not taking the hands off that wheel, but let's clap it up. Because that is a huge thing, right? And for those that do not know what a 529 plan is, it's a college savings vehicle where you can put your money in tax-free and you can use it for educational expenses when your child goes to college, okay? Now, even if, let's say that your child has so many scholarships that they never need it, guess what? You as a grandparent can gift that 529 money to your grandchild, okay?
You could also take out that scholarship. If you can prove that the kid has a scholarship, you could also take that money, that scholarship. Like, you just have to prove that
they have enough. And this is
and then you can take that money out if you want to. But like Chris was saying, you could also gift it to other kids, your cousins, anybody in your family. There's a qualifying list of other people that you can transfer to. And you could use it for yourself if you want to go back to school.
Exactly. If you want to go back to school, you could absolutely use it for yourself. So that's usually the foundation I start with, depending on where you're starting, right? And a lot of times when I'm talking to parents, they're just like, my child's about to graduate in a few months. So how can you make this possible? Right.
Yes.
And so if you're in that position, if you have a child that's a junior, senior in high school, or they're in college now and you've already taken out loans, I'll show you how, you know, if we have time, we'll talk about some ways where the loan could be paid off even before they graduate. So they could still graduate debt free without you having to come up with extra money out of your pocket as a parent. Okay. And so that's the foundation. Another thing, if your child is in high school, there's a website called raiseme.com or raise.me, where if your child is in a leadership organization, or they're part of a sports team, or they're part of a certain club or group, or if they're getting certain grades in class, guess what? They can get scholarships committed to them from different colleges and universities just for doing something that they're already doing. So raise.me. And guess what? There was an article, I forgot the young lady's name, but she was featured in CNN. She got over $80,000 just from RaiseMe. Okay, from different scholarships. And so that's one. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a three-step framework that I usually walk my students through. The top one, the middle and the top tier of the what I call the debt-free degree triangle, we probably won't focus as much in this interview, but I'll explain it just so you can have an idea of how it works. Okay. And so you have three tiers. You have the base, which is scholarships. And then the middle is budgeting or money management. And then the third is what I call automated income streams. Okay. And each one builds on the other in order to graduate debt free. So the most, like, there's an article they did last year, the year before last, I believe it was last year, but Forbes did it. And it says the title was over $100 million in scholarship monies go unclaimed each year. Over $100 million in scholarship money goes unclaimed. So that means there's scholarship money out there for you or for your child, depending on who's listening to this, right? There's money out there for you that just needs you to apply for it. Okay. So it sounds oversimplified, but I'm telling you, there's more students that do not do this because they don't believe there's scholarships out there for them. There are a couple of barriers and hurdles that students just don't apply for. And I'll tell you the top reasons why they don't apply. Number one, they don't know where to find the scholarships. Number two, they don't know what to write about because a lot of the scholarships applications require some type of essay, right? And so if we can eliminate the obstacle of not knowing where to find the scholarships, and we can eliminate the whole burden of you having to write all these essays over and over and over again. Guess what? If we can eliminate those two big barriers, then hopefully that encourages you to follow through and apply for all these scholarships. Sound like a deal?
I love it. I'm excited all right. to hear about this. I'm yes, like, let's get yes. on this framework.
Let's
we are
go.
We're getting into this triangle.
Let's go. So, and then if you think about it, like if you look want to look on a deeper level, like there are three phases. So scholarships, that's the dependent phase. Budgeting or money management, that's the independent phase where you manage your own money. And then automated income streams, that's where it's interdependent, right? Because that's when you're talking about passive income streams, and then you have to rely on them just as much as they rely on you for presenting the value of some form. Okay. And so scholarships. So this is what you really need in order to increase your odds or likelihood of getting scholarships. I've worked with students for over 17 years in financial aid, financial literacy, higher ed, high schools. Everybody, listen to this carefully. Everyone that's applied for at least 100 qualifiable scholarships, 100 scholarships, everybody, and this is over the last 17 years, everyone that I've come in contact with that's applied for at least 100 scholarships have gotten scholarships.
I love it.
Let's just stop right there. Like, yeah, let's just stop right there.
Who's beating those stats? Who's beating those? Like, that's
nobody.
100% success rate. I love
it. Applied for 100, at least 100 qualifiable. Like, you're not going to be like, okay, you're a right-handed guy applying for a basketball scholarship when it's a women's left-handed basket weaving scholarship, right? Like those two just don't connect. Okay. So that's why I qualified it with the term qualified scholarships, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be at least in the ballpark, right? But if you're applying for at least 100 scholarships, guess what? You will get scholarships. If you don't, message me, hit me up, and guess what? I'll give you some scholarship money. I'm putting that publicly on the podcast. And that's the challenge that I had to everybody.
Yes, that's the challenge. I love
that's
it.
Okay?
We got to hold people to the fire.
That's right. Absolutely. Yes. And so that's why I always challenge people to do it, because guess what? It gets them in the habit, and it gets them at least to take the challenge on to do that. Now, you're like, okay, I applied for 100 scholarships, but what's going to increase my odds of getting these scholarships? That's where we're going to start. So where do we find the scholarships? There's so many apps, right? And so many websites and scholarship portals, right? But we talked about Raise Me. So if you're in high school, that's a good one. And then make sure I don't forget, but there's scholarships where you don't even have to write essays. They give out lots of money. So we'll talk about that in a second if I don't forget. But you have you have portals like Scholly. And I always talk about Scholly first, and it's like my go-to, because Scholly is a scholarship portal that was created by somebody who cracked the code on scholarships. So Christopher Gray was featured on Shark Tank. His scholarship portal was actually featured on Shark Tank. Christopher Gray was homeless at different times, at some points during his high school year, in his senior year in high school. And he knew that the only way to get out of his current situation, right, living situation, was by going off to college. So he ended up going to the library. He'd be on his phone applying for scholarships. And he ended up getting over $1.3 million in scholarships. $1.3 million in scholarships. So he understood how to get scholarships, right? So he goes off to Drexel University in Philly. He meets some friends and partners, and they end up creating the software known as Scholly. And then what happened was, when he went off to school, because he can go to any school he wants, one of the biggest scholarships that he had was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation scholarship. Okay. But he ended up going off to school, and then he built it, and then he was featured on Shark Tank. The rest is history. But what Scholly does is, like some other scholarship portals, but you put in all your miscellaneous information, all the personal information, like detail. They'll ask you a lot of things. If you're left-handed, if you have certain diets, if you check off everything that applies to you. And what happens is the software goes out and searches for vetted scholarships. Keyword vetted, because some sites will send you scams and like sign up for this credit card and loans and all this other stuff. And now you're in a worse off position than when you started to look for scholarships. But it goes out and finds all the scholarships, and it does two things. You can filter it by deadline date, So let's say if you click deadline date and then you see all these scholarships that have a deadline of this week, right? Most people think you only apply for scholarships in the springtime. Guess what? You can apply for scholarships year round. Okay. Number two, you can filter it based on what's the likelihood of you getting that scholarship, meaning how much does it match based on your profile information? How much does the scholarship match? And they'll rate that from 0 to 10. And so if you have a lot of 10s, 9s, 8s, guess what? These scholarships were made for you, right? And then you have other scholarship websites like Scholarship Owl and Bold and other scholarship forms that you can look into. As a matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, because I only do this for anytime I want to guest on a podcast, I only do this for those guests, but there's a website link and I'll say, and you can probably put in the notes, but it's tiny.cc/scholarships-chapter. That's all lowercase, tiny.cc/scholarship-chapter. And that's the free chapter from my book on scholarships. So everything I'm saying, if it's going too fast, you'll have all the ins and outs, what to do, how to do it, and the order to do it in that chapter. It's like no download. It's just a straight to the Google link, Google Drive link, and then you'll be able to pull up that chapter. Okay. So that's my gift to your listeners. Just for being a listener of this great show, I want you all to have that. If you're a parent or a student that's looking to go to college for free, that's definitely going to help you.
Okay? We love you for that, Chris.
Oh, well, I love y'all too. And so now we knocked out the barrier of entry for where to find the scholarships, right? Now we have scholarships finding you. Now, most students don't want to apply for, don't write these essays. So I was like, Chris, how can we figure out a way to where you said 100 scholarships? Like most people get burnt out after 5 or 10. They're like, I can't do this no more. Like, this is a lot. Like, I might could do one a week or once every other day, but like, you're talking about 100 scholarships? That's almost impossible. So what I usually tell students is, if you have, and see, this is the key right here. There's only 5 essays that you need. There are only 5 essays. So I know I said 100 scholarships, but listen, there are only 5. And you'll only ever need one or a combination of these 5 essays. So I want you to pay attention. It's in the notes in the chapter that you'll see, but I'm going to say it to you if you're listening to me. All right, so here go the 5 essays in no particular order. Number 1 essay is your rags to riches essay. Your rags to riches essay. And once you have these 5, I'll tell you what to do with them. Your rags to riches essay is talking about some type of obstacle or challenge that you've had to overcome to get to the point to where you are now. How did you overcome it? Or what did you do to get to the point to where you overcame that obstacle? And where do you plan on going? Scholarship donors, businesses, organizations, they want to know that if we give you this money, if you come up on hard, challenging times where you feel like dropping out, are you going to dig down and push through and succeed and graduate college? Because the last thing they want to do is give all this money to someone who's probably not going to graduate, right? Because they don't have that grit or that wherewithal to push through when they see challenges come. But if they see somebody who has a story of triumph and overcoming, guess what? They're like, we want to support what you want to do because listen, you've overcome all of that. Guess what? We want to push you towards success, whatever it is you want to do. And here's another thing that I want to mention, because a lot of times people think that, well, I don't have that quote unquote Tyler Perry story, right? I don't have those external things that I dealt with. But guess what? There are some students who deal with some internal stuff, right? So there's one of my students who I worked with, and she didn't have one of those, you know, chaotic external things. But the thing is, she held herself to a high standard where it's just like she was almost at the level of perfection where she was like, I got to make it perfect. I got to do this. And if she didn't reach that level, she would get anxiety or she would get stressed or she would feel overworked and overwhelmed, right? Especially with her major that she was in. And so what she did was she found an outlet in yoga, right? And learning about mental health strategies. And then by her doing that, that gave her a way of escape so that she can, you know, be able to focus back on her studies, get back on a better schedule and regimen. And then she was able to flourish and succeed. And
no, so that I love was her. That's a great example because it like also that? Shows to people that you figured out a way to be able to cope and to overcome something that's hard internally, which a lot of people don't do. Even if they do have these external battles, a lot of people don't know how to like be introspective and to actually figure things out. So that's a perfect example. I love
Good.
That.
I'm glad. Yeah. Cause then she was like, wow, I never thought about that because she, number one, she didn't think she was worthy. So before I even continue, I want you to know that you are worthy of these scholarships. I don't care what type of situation you're in or whatever, like get out of your mind that you're not worthy of the scholarships, because there are people who want to hear your story. They want to give money to you, and you're the person that they're looking for. So what happens is, and it might sound oversimplified, but it really comes down to a numbers game. And the more opportunities that you put yourself out there, and guess what? Then the likelihood or increased chances are you getting this money, because guess what? There's scholarship dollars with your name on it. But if you never take that shot, what they say, I think Wayne Gretzky says, and a lot of other people say it, but they say you miss 1,000 shots that you don't take, right? You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, right? You miss. And so keep that in mind. You are worthy of it, and you deserve these scholarships, okay? So now that I said that, that was a little sidebar, but just that mental status, I really want you all to know that it's all mental. Once you understand that it's mental and you can do it, you will do it. So that's your rags to riches. Next one is your impact essay. What type of impact do you plan on making in your community, in the world, just in general? What type of impact? And then another thing I like to add on is like impact / leadership. Right? Because it's just like, along with your impact, like, how have you made an impact through leadership? Like, how have you led groups of people? How have you been in a leadership situation? Like, how has your leadership made an impact in whatever it is that you were doing? So you got rags to riches, you got your impact essay, impact / leadership. Your third one is your what will you do with the money essay? Now, that's a long name, but you get it. What will you do with the money? And so outside of like paying for school, like there's some students who need like, who got to pay lab fees, or they got to pay for a lab coat, you know? Or
let me
tell
you something. When you said that, I was like, wait, I mean, why would they ask you what you need the money for? I need the money to pay for school.
Right, right. But there's all these other things. Right. Like, wait, all these other majors ain't got to pay for all this stuff. You know yes. what I mean? Like, prime example, you probably can attest to that. You're like, yeah, I had to pay association yeah. fees and yes. I had to pay for lab equipment and all this
yes.
other stuff.
Yes, it was
right?
a lot of fees that went. Well, for my undergrad, I was pre-med. So, okay. yeah, all those lab fees and all that stuff. Yeah. But my books were $500, like each.
Each. Right.
Like, yeah.
How much you spent on books? $40. $40. Yeah. You know,
humanities majors and stuff.
Yeah, you're like, but I'm paying $500 a piece mm-hmm. for my books, yeah. right? And so yeah. when the student talks about, yeah, well, I don't have to borrow books from my friends. I don't have to borrow lab coats or lab equipment. You know, I can actually have my own. And so when you map this thing out, like it's pretty much like a budget, so to speak, of what mm-hmm. you're going to do with your money. So when people know specifically what you plan on do with your money, they're going to give it to you, right? And so, or they're likely to give it to you because you already have a map that plan. Now, your fourth one, this is what I call your career / major. Like, what are you going to do in your career? What are you going to do in with your major? Like, why are you going to school? You know, what are you planning on doing? And then once you can map that out, like you could kind of tie in your impact with your major. Like what, how are you going to change the world after you get this degree? How are you going to change this industry? What are you going to do? Like going back to the example with Taylor, my student, she was one thing she wants to do because her area is forensic toxicology.
Ooh.
So she knows that's a high stress environment in that mm-hmm. you're looking at a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That can be stressful if you're not used to it. And so she wants to bring like yoga and mental health strategies to that field. Mm-hmm. And make it like a norm so that people that are in this industry automatically have proven ways or systematic ways to decompress and, you know,
and not get burned out.
And
okay?
not get burned yes. out. Right. And so that's that. The type of impact that she wants to make within
that's
that field.
That's so dope.
Okay.
Yes.
And so that's it. And then the last one. So you have your rags to riches. You have your impact. What will you do with the money? You have your career / major. And then your last one is what I call the wildcard essay. This is usually tied towards some current event. So this is always going to change depending on the times. So a lot of people are talking about the recession, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about, okay, well, how's the recession affecting your industry, or how's it affecting your community? How's it affecting you? Right. Even a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about COVID and quarantine. Right. And the whole world being quarantined flipped the whole world upside down. Right. How did that affect your industry or affect how business is done or how you interact? And how's it going to change the future? How's it going to affect the future? So you want to talk about those type of things. But once you have those five essays, you put it in the Google Drive or you throw it in iCloud, and now you have access to it from your phone, from your laptop, anywhere. Some people put it on a flash drive or save it to the laptop. But if you're in a situation where I need to apply for this scholarship in the next 3 hours and my laptop is back at home or my flash drive that I need, no, you could just log into your drive and you'll be able to copy and paste put in your essay, you can put certain sections from each essay into it. And guess what? You tweak it, make sure you fit the guidelines of how many words it needs to be. And guess what? Now you have your essays and you can wash, rinse, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. And guess what? Now you have your essays. Now you got the burden or your obstacle of where to find the scholarships, because scholarships are finding you now. And then what to write about. Now you got your essays out of the way. Now, here's the third part. Once you combine these three, then it increases your chances for success through and through. So a lot of times people are just like, well, how do I apply for 100 scholarships? So let's just say that today is December 1st, right? By February 1st, but so January 1st is 30 days. By February 1st, that's 60 days. By February 1st, that's over 120 scholarships that you've now applied for. And most people, when I ask, I say, I usually talk to like a classroom or an arena full of students. I say, raise your hands in the air if you've applied for at least 100 scholarships. Maybe 5 to 10 people's hands, or let's just say 5% or less of the hands go up. I said, okay, for those that raise their hands, keep them up if you applied for at least 100 scholarships, right? Or no, not 100 scholarships. Keep your hands raised if you receive scholarships, and all their hands 100% of the time stays up, right? I say, hands down. How many of you had to take out some form of student loan? Everybody else's hands, the 95% hands had to go up. And then like a light bulb goes off, like, maybe I should apply for at least 100 scholarships, right? And so now you know where to find them, how to find them, and now you know what plan to do. So now if you do it in the next 2 months, whatever today is, just map out 2 months from now and just do two a day. And then even if you're just doing one of those scholarship portals that I talked to you about, filter it by the deadline and then apply for everything that has a deadline of this week. I don't care if your essay is not that great or if it doesn't really apply to you, just do it and start getting in the habit. After you've done all the essays for this next week, then after the following week, that's when you start doing two a day. Okay. And then once you do the two a day, guess what? Now you know where to find the money, how to apply for the money, and how to increase the chances for that money. And then that, my friends, is scholarships. And then I've talked to people who have gotten $300,000 plus a scholarship, millions of scholarships, all. And I've worked with students who got this. Last piece about scholarships. You don't even have to have an essay for some of these scholarships. This one, if you have a 16-year-old or older, you can apply for this scholarship, and the deadline is the second week of January. So depending on where you're listening to this, this application opens up from November to January of every year. This is the Taco Bell Live My Scholarship Foundation scholarship. You just have to do a 2-minute video, 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And one of my students, she did a 2-minute video, recorded in a day. She got $10,000 for that 2-minute video.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a good ROI.
Good ROI. $10,000
for 10 minutes. Okay, come on now.
For 2 minutes, right?
2 minutes.
$10,000 for 2 minutes.
$10,000 for 2 minutes. Wait, so I wanted to ask you this question before I forgot. Like, at what age did kids start looking for scholarships?
So what I found is as early as 13. A lot of scholarships will start as early as 13 years old, right? And then most of them are like 16 and up. So this is like, as long as you're, you know, a freshman in high school and up can start applying. And what will happen is if you get awarded these scholarships, most of the colleges or organizations will just hold it for you until you end up going to school. And they'll be like, let us know where you're going. Where do we need to send the money? And we'll apply. And then institutions will hold scholarship monies for you until you graduate high school and go there too. And then now there's things like students are doing dual enrollment. For those that don't know what dual enrollment is, a student can be in high school and take college classes at the same time. And a lot of times it's no additional cost. It's like it's free if they're taking these college classes while they're enrolled in high school. And so if you're getting these college credits, by the time you actually graduate high school, you can go into college as a junior. And guess what? You didn't save yourself 2 years of taking out possible loans that you would have taken out. Right.
Yes. 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 I love that. And that's a big cheat code into saving a lot of money in college. I know there's something else as far as like just basically testing out of a lot of classes that people can also do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You can actually CLEP out. So you could do CLEP exams, which is one. Right. And you can actually take tests, especially if you know the material, you can actually test out of taking courses and get credit for that class as if you took it or as if you paid for it and took it. So if you already know the material or if you study for it and you want to CLEP for an exam, you can take that exam. And then there are different names, but that's one of the popular names that people understand, that you can actually test out of a class that you don't even have to take. And so, yeah, so that's a good point. And then, so even with the Taco Bell scholarship, they offered, they've been offering over $100 million in scholarship. So it's like over 70 people got the $10,000. And then there was like 5 to 10 people that got $25,000 each. And then there was a number that got $5,000 each. And so, and it's renewable every year. Wow. So let's say that you get the $25,000 as a freshman, you can get it 3 more times and get $100,000 just from that one scholarship.
That's how much I've had to save for my kids' education. So just to put that into perspective, and best believe, when it, my oldest turns 13, is about to be on and popping. Like we about to get that money back. And I look at that money as a safety net, but we're going to do everything. If my daughter wants to go to college, and she said that she does right now, but she's 8, we're going to do everything possible to make sure that, you know, she gets in for as little as possible out of our pocket, because we look at that 529 money as a generational wealth tool. So even if she doesn't use it, her sister will use it. Her other sister will use it.
Right.
Or, you know, somebody else in the family that, you know, I can help out. Imagine having an auntie that can give you $100,000 towards your education. Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
but I bet you I'm a put in the contingencies that you had to apply for at least 100 scholarships first. Okay.
There we go. Yeah. That's part yes. of the contingency yes. on getting
yes.
it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then, there was another point that I wanted to make. So a lot of times students will get these big old refund checks, right? Off of student loans. But guess what? You can get overage checks from scholarships. Because sometimes, organizations that don't. Like there's some scholarships, for example, remember I talked about the Hope Scholarship that adjusts based on however much tuition is at your school, right? But there's some organizations that are like, for example, like talk about like $10,000, here you go. And they'll put it on your books or, you know, your account or however you want to look at, you know, for books for your education purposes. But guess what? Anything over the amount that it costs to go to school, a lot of times they'll just put it on your account and then your school issue a refund. And guess what? That money can go into an account and you can use it for the next semester. It's going to go into your bank account, right? So guess what? Imagine if you have $10,000 a semester, right, in overage. And you just have that sitting aside. And let's say after you graduate, you want to go to grad school. But guess what? You can not just graduate debt free. And this, we're not even talking about the automated income streams or anything else. We're just talking about scholarships. But if you get $10,000 a semester, that's $20,000 a year. In 4 years, that's $80,000 in your bank account. And you graduated debt free.
Listen, that is the dream. That is the dream. Like, yeah. But the thing is, nobody talks about this. Nobody shares this because this is a game changing, especially. So not only are you, like you said, going to school debt free, but now you can come out with a good nest egg. And that opens up a lot of opportunities for you, because sometimes we get out of school and we have this we're overburdened with debt. So we just take whatever jobs we can get. And then, you know, your first job is going to set your trajectory for your career. Yeah. Right. And so we can make better choices. So I love that. But we're still on the bottom of this pyramid. We still got some ground to cover.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's perfect. And it's a perfect segue. So we talked about scholarships was the base. And then the next part is budgeting or money management, right? And so listen, so this is one thing I usually tell college students, especially college students, because a lot of times, number one, students you'll find will go into these jobs that have nothing to do with their majors, like nothing to do with, like they'll get these degrees and then they'll just work this job because the number one priority to them is paying these bills. Like they have an apartment now, like they're not just going to be able to just live on campus if they've already graduated. Well, you can stay here as long as you want. No, they got to get out, right? And so now they're like, oh, I have these college, I got this apartment expense, I have a car note I have to pay for, and all these other expenses. So what I usually tell students to do while they're in college or even before that, make dream lifestyle. What do you want your life to look like after you graduate? This is what you want it to look like. Where are you living? You go to bankrate.com. How much is your mortgage? If you pay for a mortgage, right? And then what some students, if they're on their own, right? Like there's sometimes where students will, their first time home, they'll get like a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex, right? So they'll have, so it's called house hacking in some terms. But what they'll do is their first, you know, if they get qualified for certain funding for their first house, is what they'll do is they'll just get a, you know, multi-unit house, you know, 4 units or less. And they'll just rent out the other spaces. So guess what? If they have enough overage, then their mortgage, you know, the amount that they have to pay the bank for that loan is being covered by the other tenants that are in that same unit with them, right? And it's just like, wow, that's now they created a passive income stream if they did it right, right out of college. And they're a homeowner as well. And then there are a lot of other benefits with that as well.
But I also think about that, like when I put my kids in college, like dorms are expensive, food is expensive, all this kind of stuff. And if I can eliminate that expense for my kids, like my kids not only have their 529, they have their brokerage accounts. I can use that money in their brokerage accounts, put a down payment on their first place, whether it's a single family house, a duplex, or under a fourplex, you know, I'm going to eliminate that housing expense, which for them means that that's less money that they have to come out of their pocket with. And that's starting in college. So I like that idea from that point, like when you go into college as well, because now you don't have to worry about housing and then all the lessons that are learned about like being a landlord and all of those kind of things that are even more transferable skills when you get out into the real world. So I love that example. Keep going.
Absolutely. That's also a point. And then, so that's why I try to like, cause then they don't think about, oh man, well, how much am I going to be spending on groceries every month? If I want to go out to eat, how much am I going to budget for that? Right. This is where we talk about budgeting. Right. And if they've never created a budget, which is simply like, I like how Tiffany Alice puts it. She said, it's a physical plan for what you're going to do with your money. Right. And so the budget needs to, for those that don't know who that is. So she says it's a physical plan for what you want to do with your money. And so if you think that this is how I'm going to want my life to be, then now you have a blueprint of, okay, this is how much it's going to cost each month for me to live. And then once you have that budget, right, or that plan or that blueprint, now you know what you're going to work towards. Okay. Now, with that being said, you can use apps like Mint, Intuit, Mint app. And that's an app that you can actually create a budget just with one click. And that's just one. It's free. As of right now, it's free. And there's other ones that are free out there too. You can just do your search and find out what the best budgeting apps are. Okay. And so now you have a budget and you know exactly what you plan on doing with your money. Okay. And how to manage it. Okay. So now you got the scholarships, you got the overage money. You know what you're planning on, what your plans are doing with your money. And now you can know what you want to do as soon as you graduate without having to be stressed out. You're like, okay, now what am I going to do? And that's the last point. So when you have the overage money, let's say you have $100,000 in your bank account, right, after you graduate. Now, if your lifestyle costs $50,000, right, $50,000 a year, guess what? Now with $100,000 in your bank account, now you're built up an emergency fund, or you've built yourself up 2 years to where you're not stressed to just settle for any old job, right? Like you've bought yourself time, right? Because time is more valuable than money in reality. So it's just like when you bought yourself time, or you bought yourself time back, guess what? Now you're able to move a little differently. Because if you notice, there's some people that move because they're under the stress of like, I got to do this, I got bills to pay. And then they move differently because they're in a state of, I don't want to say scarcity, but they're in a state of stress because they're trying to figure out what they have to do with their money, right? And then there are other people who have bought themselves enough cushion to where they can actually move the way that they want to move, right? And so you got the scholarships, you got the budgeting piece, and now the third part is the automated income stream. Y'all ready for the automated income streams? All right.
We definitely ready for that.
And so I go over 15 different automated income streams for college students and high school students. I can apply that. And then, you know, some of the basics or the foundation I like to talk about in the book is like rich dad, poor dad's cash flow quadrant, and, you know, different ways to look at money. Because poor and middle class, they usually just taught employee, like get a high paying job and that's it. But there's three other quadrants, right? Like you got self-employed, you have business owner, and you have investor. And so the key is you want to move from the left side of the quadrant, which is employee and self-employed, to the right side of the quadrant, which is business owner and investor, because that's when you can leverage time and money to work in your favor instead of you working with time and money in against you, right? And so what we want to do when we're thinking of passive / automated income streams is that most students, when they go off to college, when they want to get extra money, if they don't feel like working for a job, they'll do things like cut hair or do nails or, you know, do all these other things to where they want to make some side money, right? But the thing is with that is that it takes away from their study time. It takes away from the class time. Yeah, they're making money, but in theory, the more successful that they are, guess what? The busier they're going to become. And then it's like they're making more money, but they have less and less time for their studies and their academics are going down. And then it's like one of two choices. Either you're going to have to stop the business or you're going to have to just increase your prices to keep the customer base the same. Right. But automated income streams is that you set something up one time and you do little to no effort in the future to gain more money. So you know how they hear, you hear terms like money in your sleep? Like that's an actual real thing. Like there are things that you can set up one time to where it pays you over and over again without any effort on your part or little.
But we talked about that already kind of with like the house hacking. Like that's,
yes.
That's,
yes,
that's one
absolutely.
Way you can
that's
do that.
That's definitely one yes. way. Yeah, uh-huh. absolutely. And then so there are other ways. So one of the ways I usually tell students about is like, there's a simple way where you don't have to come up with a product. You don't have to worry about inventory or shipping. You don't have to worry about process. You don't have to worry about anything, and you can still get paid from it. And they're like, well, what is that? And then I asked the question. I said, before I tell you what it is, have you ever recommended a restaurant to somebody? And everybody's hands go up. They're like, yeah. I said, now, if you told somebody how great the restaurant was, did that restaurant come and find you and say, hey, we heard that you told such and such about us. Here goes $50. They'd be like, no. You know, have you ever recommended a great movie and then that movie theater hit you up and say, hey, we just want to go ahead and give you $25 because you sent somebody to our movie theater? More than likely, no. Right. And so I said, well, what if you could set something up in a way to where every time you referred or recommended something, a product or software or something to somebody and get paid and you don't have to worry about any of the fulfillment? Would you like to do that? And everybody hands go up. I said that by definition is called affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. Affiliate marketing is to where, and a lot of times these people that you're recommended, most of them probably have some type of affiliate program set up and you just didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's your favorite department store, or let's say it's like Lowe's or, you know, Home Depot or something like that, for example, and then I try to combine all of them. I say some of you actually have YouTube channels. How many did you know that if you keep working at it, you can actually monetize it? So Google owns YouTube. So it's like, if you're doing something already, why not get paid for it? Mm-hmm. And so what I tell them is that if you're on YouTube and you have currently, if you have at least 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours, Google will pay you AdSense. It's money that mm-hmm. they'll pay you just for the traffic alone, just for the mm-hmm. viewers. And now let's say that you have a channel that's talking about green grass. This is always an example I use because it's easy to remember. Let's right. just say you're talking to all the experts that are out there in the world on that you're interviewing. You have a podcast, right? Now we're about to combine a lot of them, right? Let's say that you have a podcast and that you're interviewing all the experts that are talking about green grass and botany and flowers and everything like that. And guess what? Now everybody's going to, and you record it. You record a video and you upload that video recording of the podcast to YouTube. Now your YouTube viewers are going to go up and they're going to tune in every time you release a new podcast. On podcasts, you can get sponsored by a company. Let's say that Lowe's hears about your podcast and they say, can we be a sponsor? And then sooner or later, you're going to say, this podcast is brought to you by Lowe's, you know, or let's say it's one of the products that Lowe's offers. So, for example, if you're talking about green grass, there's a company called Turf Builder. Like Turf Builder is a fertilizer company. Let's just say Turf Builder says, hey, can we be a sponsor for your ad? And we'll pay you $1,000 or $2,000 a month just for a name drop. Sure. Why not? Right. And then now, guess what? You have a product. And then guess what? If I keep saying, guess what? But if you have a affiliate link with Lowe's or with Turf Builder, you could put that in the description of the YouTube video and just say, hey, click on the link below and you can get a percentage off. They might cut you a deal. You get a percentage off. Everybody that purchases that fertilizer through that link, you'll get paid. And that's how you could combine the podcasting with the YouTube, with affiliate marketing. And those are just three streams right there. And all you did was talk about one thing, right? And so when students think about ways that they could talk about something that's interesting and they could create something one time and get paid over and over and over for them, the light bulb starts to go off and they're like, man, like I'm actually doing this, but I didn't know I could get paid for it, right?
But you know what? You're rocking people's world here. So I kind of want to bring this back and put this into perspective for everyone, because, you know, you might have just thought this is a conversation about how to go to school debt free, but it's really a conversation about reframing the way we look at education and what it can do for us in the meantime, mm-hmm. because no longer are we saying like our parents said to us, you know, go to school by any means necessary and get that job. What you're doing at every step of this pyramid is ingraining these tools into these kids that are transferable and that they can use to make money on their own. So they can be independent, like come out of school with not only the skill set to work in a certain industry, but also a skill set to work for themselves. And this is, like I said, something that people aren't talking about. And so I really hope that our listeners are taking notes and taking heed to this, because this is changing the way we look at education, and it's empowering our kids to be in a position to set themselves up for financial independence.
Absolutely. Yes. Come on now. You better bring that thing full circle. I'm like, talking about all that? And so, but even just made me think about something when you just said that, because let's say that, you know, the student thinks about all the living expenses that they'll have for a year, and it comes up to, let's say, $36,000. Okay. So $36,000 a year divided by 12 months, right? So that's $3,000, right? So let's say that one of those passive income streams gets to the point to where you're getting paid $100 a day, right? $100 a day, 10 days, that's $1,000, you know? And then, so let's just say on average, let's say if you miss some sales here and there, but let's just say that in a month, you get $3,000, okay? Let's just say $3,000. Guess what? Now with that passive income stream, you paid for your lifestyle and you're not even working for anybody. So now when you get into your field of study, guess what? You're in it more of a passion, and it's not for the money. Because many times parents and students too, children will go into a certain career because it's how much money that career is going to be paying. But guess what? If all your living expenses are being paid for out of something that you created, right? Guess what? Now you don't have the pressure of just going into it for the money, but you have a passion for it. It's something that you want to just become better at, because that's where you feel your purpose lies, right? And you're doing it whether you have all the money in the world or no money in the world coming from it. You're good financially. So that's why I want people to start having a paradigm shift to where your purpose for your education and degree should be separate from your money. Your money should be separate from your degree. And usually they're always married together, but I want to separate those two, because then guess what? They are separate. Just because you might be great at a job does not mean you're going to be financially successful.
Exactly. And so
And so one of the last examples I'll give with the passive income stream, I always give this example because I was working with a student, and she's a biology student. And one of the things that she had was a day planner. Mm-hmm. And then she's a biology student, but she always had to, you know, print out a periodic table of elements, put in there, put equations, stuff like that. But if you can manufacture or get a day planner for biology students created by a biology student, right? And then sell it. And guess what? You sell it for $20. Okay. And now you have biology students around the world every single day that need that book. And guess what? You created it one time, and now it's selling over and over and over again. And guess what? Next year, there's going to be a whole nother wave of biology students that are going to be looking for your planner. Because guess what? You're the one that has it. You're the one that knows exactly what biology students need. And then you can create a YouTube channel that talks about day in the life of a biology student, right? This is what you'll need. Okay, guess what? If you're trying to get, you know, this is how are some worksheets or day planners that I had. This is some stuff. You can click the link in my bio and it'll take you to the site to go purchase it. Now you've created a whole business on something that you're already doing. And now you don't have to create anything. A lot of people think they have to think, well, I don't have anything to think about. I don't, you know, I'm working with the men's basketball team here at Savannah State. And one of the things that we're working on was one of them's coming up with a course, and he used to play on AAU basketball team. And there are a lot of parents, right? Because you can sell this to the parents. A lot of parents who are starting at ground zero or ground one at point A, and like, I don't know where to start, what to do. And then he could walk those parents and the children step by step. This is what you want to do. This is your first milestone. And each milestone could be a module. You could package it up, put it on like Thinkific, or you could put it on a Teachable or any of these different portals to where you could take your information, package it up, and then sell it as a course. And guess what? Now people could just go through it, and you're the cheat code. People are looking at you, already ended up on the other side. You went through AAU. You're on a Division I sports basketball team. And now my son's just starting out. What's the path on how to get there? Guess what? People will pay you left and right for that information.
That's it is a cheat code. And so you're shortcutting all the things that they don't have to learn about to get to the goal faster. And I love it because it's all a reframe and it's just like changing the way that you think, period. And I think this episode is just golden because there's just so many lessons here, but it's really about just like this whole reframe in general. Number one, we're not paying for school anymore. Not only are we not paying for school, we're making that pay us. We're learning budgeting and money management tools in this process. And we're also generating passive income so that we have the power to have control over our finances. So whatever job you go into is just going to be secondary. And for me, a person who thinks about retiring early and just making work optional, it gives you a lot of choices. Number one, you show up in your place of employment differently because you don't have to be there. You want to be there. That's number one. And so you usually are outperform everybody there. Mm-hmm. And then number two, if you want to step away and work on your passions, you can, because if your living expenses are covered, then you are not worried about money.
Right.
Right. And so it just fulfills you overall. And just, it's just, I feel like it's just a great ROI just for society in general, because now you're working. And usually what happens is people in those positions are the ones that are helping people. These are the people that are giving back to the community. These are people that are empowering people to do things, you know, for themselves that have never been in that position to do so, or teaching people things. And so I love all these skill sets that this brings. And this just started as a conversation around how not to go into debt for college. And so I really like hope people here are like taking notes and really listening, because this is a whole different way of thinking. And I was even thinking, like, as an example of, you know, just the people that have gone through this or have reframed, you know, how they think about education. Shit, they can start a whole social media platform around that. Like, let's think about college. Let's think about education a little bit differently. This is what I did. And you know what I'm saying? Like, just that, selling that information is super valuable. And so, like, it's just so many things unlocked here. And I'm just like, like, so grateful for this information. But I do, like, kind of want to bring it full circle, because you, like, started with you basically getting into college, getting a 1-point-something GPA, like having to pull yourself up from there, losing scholarships, having to take out loans, getting a great job, getting laid off, and starting from zero. Mm-hmm. Now you're in a position to impact so many others. And it's because it's not because of all the things that you've had access to. It's in spite of. It's the things that all the failures that could have took you out that have positioned you to help so many other people. And so I just love what you're doing, because I've heard about people that help people get scholarships, but this is a whole reframe in how you approach life in general. So if people want to like work with you, we need to know. The good people, I know they're like, I want to work with Chris, because I mean, like, you are super motivational. Like, you come amped up, keep it real. And like, but you come with so many gems and so many tools that people need. So how can we work with you, Chris?
Yes. So the easiest way, just follow me on Instagram, right? Message me. I'm trying to get my followers up anyway. Like, I don't even be pushing it. Those are like people that I come in contact with, like, got Instagram. I'm like, yeah. So I'm trying to build that up now. So, but yeah, The Finlit Guy. So it's T-H-E, The Finlit Guy. The Finlit Guy on Instagram. You can follow me there. And then we'll just go from there. Yeah. The Finlit Guy.
Make sure you guys are following The Finlit Guy. He drops gems. And so I know I'm excited to see what's next for you. I know you're coming up with some amazing ways that people can work with you. And we got to work together on something too. You don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you want me to come and speak at your school, at your college, or at your organization, just let me know. I mean, I love to speak it to students, parents, grandparents, like, because I know it could be a scary thing when you're thinking about my child, my grandchild, my loved one is getting ready to go to school, and I have no idea what to do. I don't have any money saved up, and like the FAFSA, right? Like, we didn't even mention the FAFSA, but the FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid. every year, October 1st, it opens up. So if you haven't done that, go ahead and fill that out. Because most schools, that's usually the universal application for federal funding and for state grants and scholarships if they have any. And then there are other schools like, you know, some more of the Ivy League schools, they do what a CSS profile, a college board that you can fill out so they can find out what information that you have to figure out if they have scholarship monies for you. So just do those two basic things and that'll definitely help out. And then message me on Instagram and message me something like free book. That's all I know that you'll hear this. Yes. And then what I'll do for the first, I don't know how many people I'll cut it off at, but I'll mail you a copy of my book. If you want to see what it's like, it's a finlitbook.com. It'll take you to the Amazon link and it'll show you what the book is about if you're interested, right? If not, then the scholarship chapter alone will hopefully get you some results that you're looking for. And that's my goal. My mission is just to help change the narrative and just make sure that we don't need these student loans ever again, like nobody.
No, I think that's so dope. And thank you so much for offering the free book to my audience.
Yeah,
we'll put a link
absolutely.
In there so they can DM you to get these free books. But I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this information, even me with all my degrees, and if you don't know, I have two master's degrees, like the
let's go. We're not just gonna pass by that, right? Because I know some sleepless nights and some teary nights.
Oh my God.
You know,
yes.
and all of that. So I know it's a lot of sacrifice. So just doing that is like,
but navigating, okay? but navigating how to pay for school has always been one of those things that's intimidating. And it's just like when you go to student aid offices, they're not very helpful. And so this is some really good information and it's very dynamic. It's always going to change, right? Mm-hmm. And so like having a resource like you to go to is super valuable. And so, you know, you guys make sure you're following him. But even for me, like I went to school 20 years ago. I don't mm-hmm. know what to do for my daughter. My daughter's 8. I'm planning for her. But right. I'm not going to necessarily know how to navigate the system because right. things are going to change. And so
absolutely.
This is information that we really, really need. But this is something that we have to stay up to date on. And so I appreciate you because I know I'm going to need you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Whatever you need,
yes.
I got you.
Yes, for sure. But anyway, make sure you guys are following the FinLit guy. Make sure you guys check out his books. There's going to be links in the show notes for everything that he mentioned. Overall, I just wanted to thank you so much because, man, first of
thank
all, you're just
me.
Hella easy to talk to.
I appreciate
and you just
it.
Have so much, so much information. But really, you have reframed, even for me, how to look at approaching education
cool.
and just how to and how it ties into how we think about how we want to live our lives.
Mm.
And so I know people have so much to take away from this episode. So I really, really, from the bottom of my heart,
cool.
appreciate
Thank you.
Here.
I appreciate you having me. Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you for listening to my mommy's podcast. Bye-bye.